Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, is this Brother Yusuf Salam 334?
Yeah, this is he.
Okay, well, you can go now. We were a little bit late running, you know, to turn on the show, but you can start now.
Well, give me a couple of minutes, I'll get started. I'm looking for something. I'll be ready in a minute. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure. We'll just play a replay until then, and then when you're ready to get on, I'll... You said how many minutes?
I just said a couple of minutes. Really, that was an exaggeration. I already have what I'm looking for. So
oh, so stay good?
I can start it. Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, when you're ready.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank him for the gift and blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of Allah, and what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seals of the prophets mentioned in Bible as it is given in the Quran. Dearly beloved audience, we greet you with the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Let me just start off by saying to all of my friends and others that we living in some amazing times, the times that our leader Imam Wahduddin Muhammad called the times of the Day of Judgment, Yom Middin, and the Day of Resurrection, Yom Kiyamah. And if we're living in these times and we do not use that idea that the Imam gave us about the current realities that we're facing as human beings on the planet, we will be alive, but we will be alive in somebody else's history. I repeat, we will be alive, but we will be alive in somebody else's history. We're living in some amazing, amazing times. And it's so marvelous to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got the affairs of mankind in one hand, and he's fully in charge of those affairs, and that he has the affairs of the whole created universe, the whole cosmos. All of intergalactic and interplanetary space, he got control of that. He's in charge of the affairs of that big, great, multi-universe in his hands as well. And Allah is strong. He's able, he's capable to carry out his will. We're not going to be long today. I noticed that the American media has been involved in a spectacle the last few days dealing with recent political developments in this country. And again, if we don't look at these events in the context of Yom Middin, Yom Kiyamah, let me tell you again, I say it and I say it over and over again, you are alive, but you're alive in someone else's history. We have presidents of independent leaders. The late Honorable Elijah Muhammad was an independent thinker. His son, the late Honorable Wahiduddin Muhammad, was an independent thinker. We don't need the puntocracy and the pundits and the commentators to explain the reality to us. We're not alive in their history. We're in contact with divine orchestration. I repeat, we're in contact with divine orchestration. We're in contact with divine sculpturing of events. We're in contact with the precise and concise unfolding of a grandiose design. And we don't need any professional pundits to break it down to us. Allah has already broken it down in the potent revelation of Al-Quran, Quran Kareem, the generous Quran, Quran Mubin, the clear Quran. I might add the exquisite Quran. I don't have a lot of time today. Inshallah, we'll move right along. And I'm going to touch upon some affairs today, and I'll let you go. But I remind you, we're continuing in our series, Debunking the Myth of Ham, Reflecting on the Life of a Blessed Imam. Debunking the Myth of Ham, Reflecting on the Life of a Blessed Imam. Our subtopic Fear and Confusion Prevails in the Empire of Illusion. Again, I repeat the subtopic, Fear and Confusion Prevails in the Empire of Illusion. Imam referred to these times as the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, if people are under dread, they are going to more likely be extremely and compulsively fearful and scary and paranoid. Suffering from collective paranoia. The dreadful day. A day where the shaitan himself, who's in the habit of threatening, according to the Quran, and say that he threatened us with poverty and indigency. But Allah promised us forgiveness and a great reward. So anytime we see fear and confusion, we can operate from the irrebuttable presumption that the shaitan, is attempting to manipulate the situation. And when I refer to the Empire of Illusion, I'm not referring to the remnants of the Western Empire or Western man's dominance over the global reality of mankind. I'm referring to the Empire of Illusion that Satan himself spins on his diabolic weave. Confusion prevails in the empire of illusion. Now, the pundits will try to analyze the political events in the last week in America from purely a socioeconomic political spin. They will not bring in this extra but very important position that the Shaitan himself is willing and dealing right before our very eyes. Dearly beloved audience, I'm not pessimistic in America. I personally follow the imam suit, and I listened to our outstanding leader, Barack Obama, the day after the election, and his remarks was loaded with a feeling of optimism, high hopes, and great expectations in the future of this wonderful nation, and with all its flaws, the most progressive democratic order on the planet. And I'm reflecting earlier during the week, I had some experiences that reminded me of my own political career, where for years the name of Yusuf Abdus Salam was on the ballot running for some office in historic Selma, Alabama. And as I move into our discussion today, I'm going to reflect on these incidents because they say a lot about where we are today. Then I may make a few remarks about the political order here in the state of Alabama, because there's some projections here that really remind us of the basic state of government and politics in this country. So if you all don't mind, I will engage in those reflections, and I think a lot, even though I say I'm a doctor, Allah has blessed me to be a complex doctor, a complicated doctor, a highly nuanced doctor. And so the Yusuf Abdus Salam that you hear on this broadcast may not be, at least in that aspect, of the personality that Allah has given him, may not be the same aspect that you may observe, like several citizens in Dallas County observed as I moved throughout the limits of Selma in Dallas County, Alabama. It's an entirely different aspect of personality that's projected in that context. So, on election day, I almost habitually followed my pattern of behavior when I was running for office. Normally what I would do, I would go to this restaurant in the heart of the city of Selma, and I would take the pulse of the local citizenry, both African American and Caucasian. And on this particular day, there was a young Caucasian female, and she was eating lunch. She came in to get her some Southern-style turkey and dressing. You got some African-American women that work in the kitchen. I know them all, and they can put a shown-up foot in that turkey and dressing. They can really put a foot in it. And so she had been away living in Auburn, Alabama. So she came back to town, and she came to this restaurant because she wanted some of that outstanding turkey and dressing that those beautiful sisters in the kitchen had prepared. And I saw her looking at me out of the corner of her eyes, and I picked up a vibe where somehow I felt that I knew her, but I couldn't place it. So she was leaving the downtown. She came over and she called me Representative Salam. Many people still call me that until this day in Selma and Dallas County. And she said, "You don't remember me." She said, "I'm Elizabeth Grimes." As soon as she made that statement, be patient, I'm going somewhere with these remarks. I said, "Yes, I remember you now. I can't forget that name." I said, "You were running for Dallas County Fair Queen one time, and your mother came to me when I was a state representative, and I gave a donation on your behalf. Is that correct?" She said, "Yes, that's correct, Representative Salam." I said, "What you doing for yourself now?" And she went on to explain, but she said, "Let me tell you, you'll be happy about this." I said, "Happy about what?" She said, "There was a group of us out in Oroville, Alabama, that when we voted, we wrote your name in on the ballot for state representative." The pragmatic side of me thought, "Well, why would they waste their votes like that? I'm not running for anything." But there was another side that Allah brought to my attention. When you look at what's happening in these elections, don't come with a simplistic black and white understanding. The human being is complex. Now, this young lady and her family who wrote me in, they probably voted against everybody that I voted for. They probably did. I'm not naive. But she came and told me that they tried to write me in. And I asked her, "Why did you all do something foolish like that?" I didn't say wasting your vote because I wanted to be somewhat appreciative. She said, "Because we need leaders." leadership in Dallas County. Yes, we need leadership in Dallas County, but I know the majority of you went and voted straight Republican ticket. We said Dallas County when it comes to the general election in November. I used to when I was on that ballot as a Democrat, I used to tell the common folk, I said, look, don't wick it, just kick it one time, bam, straight Democrat. But on the other side, I also knew that even though the majority of people in Dallas County are Democrats and African-Americans, a lot of times my good Caucasian friends would vote straight Republican. Nevertheless, these Republican supporters took the time to try to write Yusuf Abdus-Salam in on a ballot. So it's not, these developments cannot be analyzed purely on the basis of Republican victory and Democrat defeat, this little simplistic line. That's for babies. That's being showered over the airwaves. In addition, the next day, I saw a Caucasian supporter of mine, and he came to me. He was full of joy. He forgot I was that I had been a Democrat, at least in name. And he told me, Salam, it was a big shakeup in Washington, D.C. I said, yeah, you're right. It was a big shakeup. I don't think we looked at the shakeup in the same way. But I agreed with this. Okay, and he was there with this spouse. And every time he threw a big smile at me, she would throw a big smile at me. And then as we closed our conversation, he looked over that seriously at me and said, Representative Salam, you need to get back in the game. Because we need leadership. But he too had gone and voted straight Republican for his leaders. Yet he was telling this African American Muslim Democrat that I need to get back into the political game. Now, that's not going to happen. In politics, we are told to never say never. But a snowball got a greater chance of surviving in Hades than for your brother here to get back into politics. That's a natural fact. But I bring those two incidents up to demonstrate not from what's reality, not from what's artificially being broadcast over the sensational networks. This is down to earth human reality. Eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, head to head, soul to soul, expression of natural feelings. And nothing artificial and superficial with it. So this is the state of America where people are confused. People are in fear. But there's still this impulse to good. But for us as African Americans, the Shaitan wants us to look at these results in a black and white manner in the sense that, hey, it was a negative phenomenon. And this is just one more example of how the system has let us down. So consequently, I'm going to be inclined to give up on it even more. Please let's not be guilty of falling for that little manipulative ploy. Let me talk a little bit about hardcore politics in Alabama. And to me, it's reflective of the state of national politics in a sense. And so I think what I call the tales of the three Hubbards in Alabama projects a message that's meaningful for us politically all over the country. For those of you who are not familiar with Alabama politics, there are three Hubbards that played a role in our recent statewide elections. Let me start with the one who recently passed away leading up to the elections. His name was Paul Hubbard. And Paul Hubbard was the leading on the scene, behind the scene political operative in the state of Alabama, bar none, for the Democrats for the last four decades. Paul Hubbard maintained the Democratic Party, along with others, a very strong African American brother by the name of Joe Reed. They worked in a partnership to maintain Democratic rule of this state for over at the tail end of their influence. The Democrats have been in power in the state of Alabama for 100 years. It's only in the 2010 election cycle that the Republicans took over in the governorship and in the House of Representatives and in the upper chambers, House of Lords, the Alabama State Senate. Mr. Hubbard was a powerful leader of the Alabama Educational Association. And the maintenance of Democratic power was fueled primarily by AEA money, secondarily by the gaming industry, secondarily by the Trial Lawyers Association, and somewhat coming in third, the Alabama Employee Association. Oh, yes. But Mr. Hubbard was the straw, in my opinion, that stirred the drink. And I was on our local radio channel here talking about this situation, and elderly white female called me and asked a question over the call-in show. Mr. Salam, what is it that people saw in Paul Hubbard? And she went on to name a list of things that was, in her interpretation, that was negative about him. First of all, I told her, look, Mr. Hubbard has passed away. And you notice I just got to talking about the 40-year mayor in Selma, Alabama, the late Joe T. Smitherman. And I served on the council with him. I knew all his warts and all his flaws. But I did not make one negative statement about him. It's just in my disposition that when a person passes away, I'm not going to make critical statements. Inshallah, I look for the good things and say a word to the right. And I think you will agree that as Muslims, that's the best approach. But she asked me, what the people saying? And I told her, look, money is the mother milk of our politics in this country. The political result on Tuesday could not have occurred if a rich man, powerful man, in terms of money, did not undergird, did not fuel the so-called Republican takeover. And when Mr. Hubbard was in his heyday, as I first went in the State House, I saw not just Democrats, even though he was identified as Democrat, I saw Democrats respecting him and even fearing him, and some looking at him in awe. I saw Republicans doing the same thing. When you attempt as a legislative person to become an elected official and to get reelected, you have to pursue campaign donations. And let me speak from personal experience. I had a lot of enemies politically. I needed to have a campaign war chest. But now, I never did compromise one iota on my political values to get money. But I tell you what, when I went in Paul Hubbard's office and Paul Hubbard broke me off a check as a rookie for $10,000, and I'm out there running hard against three or four candidates that's been sick like wild dogs to try to get me out of office. It's two or three weeks left in the election, and I got a need to get voter turnout money. I didn't have but one move to make. I didn't have the money, so I went back to Mr. Paul Hubbard. And I gave him, and I received from him, as a little rookie, not a lot of power, another $10,000. Money is the mother breast of all politics. So Mr. Hubbard was very, very, very influential. But during my last year in office, his mother passed away. She lived in a very rural part of Alabama. Even though my roots are in Alabama, I had never been to this part of Alabama. But out of respect for him, I went to his mother's funeral. And my presence there touched Mr. Hubbard in a very special way. So the next time I went to see him, it was not about any campaign monies. He told me to come see him. I went to see him to talk about the state of Alabama politics. And during our private conversation, I told Mr. Paul Hubbard in private that the rule of the Democratic Party was getting ready to come to an end in the state of Alabama. We sit in his office in deep privacy, and we had this conversation. Surprisingly, Mr. Hubbard, a very wise man, saw the handwriting on the wall, and he agreed. I told him what I thought was the problem. I said the Democratic Party now has been positioned because of the strategic importance of African Americans to leave the political flank open of what I call the conservative white Democrat. And as African Americans, I knew our political clout would be severely weakened in the State House if we had a situation where we were surrounded by Republicans. And in a black caucus meeting, we had a discussion, and some of my brothers and sisters were complaining about the white Democrat. I said, if you see the Republicans outside of your house, if you think that they're so bad, I didn't think that they were so bad, but if you think that, why are you going to pick a fight with your wife in your house, the conservative white Democrat, when you may have to face the enemy on the outside, as you call these Republicans? But in the emotional atmosphere of our black caucus legislative meeting, I couldn't get a hearing. But Paul Hubbard heard that, and he understood the situation. And in effect, he told me, I see the problem, but my hands are tied. A few months later, in November of 2010, the Republican Party bomb rushed the Alabama State Representative House in the upper lords in the Alabama State Senate. And when that happened, another Hubbard, Mr. Mike Hubbard, who served as a state representative with me, he was one of the prime coordinators of the Republicans' takeover of government in Alabama. He, along with former governor Bob Riley, and they were very, very screwed. They understood the power of the Democratic Party campaign financial system. So what did they do? They came up with a plan to go after AEA and to weaken the union that Mr. Hubbard was really over. They went after Gaiman and shut down the top financier of Gaiman in this state. And I never voted for Gaiman, and I told the prime man in Gaiman, a good friend of mine, that, look, I'm not going to be over here a flaming crusader against Gaiman, but gambling is against my religion, so I'm not going to try to destroy your work. But don't expect an affirmative vote out of me. And me and this gentleman, we had several deep political conversations. But they also went after the gaming industry. And that 1-2 punch weakened the financial infrastructure of the Democratic Party. If you study what's happening with a few nuances on the national level, the same strategy has been used, but it has a double whammy when you consider the big plutocrats and the billionaires like the Koch brothers kicking their money in as a result of the Citizen United decision, which has opened our democracy up. This wonderful democracy of Lincoln and Jefferson and King and Elijah Muhammad and Emmanuel Hussein Muhammad, of Frederick Douglass and George Washington and Madison and Jefferson. They turned it over to be brutalized by a wicked infusion of Mike Hurd and I always had a good relationship. He's a hard man. He's a strong man. He doesn't take any prisoners. I knew that. But whenever we encountered each other, the encounter was replete with cordiality. After undercutting the Democratic Party in the state of Alabama, Mr. Hubbard got involved with some alleged legal violations. And before he ran for office this time, he was hit with a 21-count indictment. Everybody in the state knew about it. Now, this is a state where many of the voters, if the wind blow the wrong way in America, there'd have to be a problem if the wind blow the wrong way in America. Barack Obama is a demon and needs to be impeached. For what crime? He's never been accused of a crime. He's never been indicted. He's never been even accused in office of spiritual crimes and violations, adultery, fornication, and none of that. Yet you can't rest every time you get a chance to want to deal with Barack Obama. Now, I don't have a problem with that. Some of that is politics. But it's more nuanced than just politics. Look what happened with Mr. Hubbard. His constituents knew that he was subject to a 21-count indictment. And I don't know whether he's guilty or innocent. I hope he's innocent. I don't have a problem with Mike Hubbard. But let's look at the principle of the thing. These Christian-oriented conservative people, and that's how I look at them. And they're not hypocrites, but because they are confused about reality, because they are fearful, they went in intentionally and knowingly gave a man a landslide victory. Who they knew was subject to 21 indictments. Not indictments from the hated Democratic Attorney General, but indictments from a Republican Attorney General who was also reelected on the same day. So if people were politically picking on Mike Hubbard, and he was subject to unfair charges, so we're going to re-elect him. Well, why didn't you punish the one who was in charge of bringing this indictment against him? Honorable Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Luther Strange. There's a deep contradiction there that reflects fear and confusion in the voter's mind. But this compulsive fear and irrational vague misgivings and harsh feelings, and in some even hatred for Barack Hussein Obama, has skewed the judgment, has undermined the good Christian value system of some of these folk. And so they hate another man that haven't been accused of anything. And they supporting like gangbusters another one accused of 21 crimes of corruption. As far as I'm concerned, the Honorable Speaker of the House is innocent until proven guilty. That's another issue, is guilty or innocent. But normally when you're subject to that many indictments, you'll never win an office again in the state of Alabama. Paul Hubbard Democratic power. Mike Hubbard, the rising Republican strongman in his destiny, in his fate. Study these metaphorical and symbolic figures. And we can understand from a political perspective what happened in this country earlier this week. And finally, there's Joe Hubbard, this so-called white Democrat, a man of superb skills, would probably make one of the best governors Alabama, the state of Alabama, ever produced. But Mr. Hubbard and the Republican leaders are looking down the line because they want to maintain power in the state of Alabama for 100 years as well. And we're not worrying about these African-American politicals. Let them keep winning their seats. But like Pharaoh, we're going to destroy every potential statewide Democratic Caucasian candidate in the room. First, Joe Hubbard was a state representative. They messed with his district. Then he had to run for attorney general. And with all his skills, the Alabama voter made their choice. And Joe Hubbard went down in flames. Look at many of these states across the South. Mary Landrieu is the last Southern National Democratic Senator standing. And she getting ready to go down in flames, probably in the runoff. This people is not just about politics. The people have always loved Mary Landrieu. She's always pulled out difficult elections. But this is something different now. An irrational fear. Confusion. Has engulfed many in the American public. Those are the tales of the three Hubbards in Alabama. The late Paul Hubbard, Speaker of the House Mike Hubbard, and Joe Hubbard, an outstanding man and human being. I don't care whether he's Republican or Democrat. Joe Hubbard is an outstanding man and human being, but he may not have a political future in the state of Alabama for years to come unless he becomes a Republican. That's the reality of the situation. And I say this to say, because as African Americans, we are confused and fearful as well. So consequently, we are blindly caught up in the Democratic Party. Pretty soon, everywhere is going to be controlled on the local and state level by Republicans. But you are going to be so blindly confused and caught up that you can't envision any other options. And we're going to continue in these southern states to send these African-American politicians, unfortunately, to the state house, who are isolated. 27 in the state house in Alabama, roughly 89 in the Senate, isolated, completely impotent, no power. Because in the heyday of democratic power, we were not wise enough to develop a strategy to operate and benefit our constituents by having a viable, compatible relationship with Republican political leaders when we had them so-called on the iPhone. And I used to be a street boy. Unfortunately, in the world of the mundane, what comes around goes around. That's enough of the hardcore politics. If you listen to what I said, dearly beloved audience, and those remarks, you can understand many of the hardcore political dynamics that's operating throughout the country. And when you start having blue states like Maryland rejecting a Democratic governor for a Republican, a super hyper blue state like Maryland, there's some problems coming. There's some problems coming. From a spiritual perspective, two men has given us the state a few years ago of what we could expect under the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama. There was a vote against the president. A vote against who? The president. For what ill-guided policy? The last I recall in American politics, great political strategist James Carville said, "It's the economy, stupid." When Barack Hussein Obama came into office, the American financial Wall Street economy was on the verge of collapse. The day after this so-called disaster for the president, the Dow Jones went up to close to 17,500 points. Let's not be silly. Do you actually think these people who love stock market capitalism from all around the country got investment in this device and that device, that they see that reversal from the collapse of the financial system? That's what they were saying in September of 2008 before Obama was elected, that the same thing gonna happen. Our financial system is on the verge of a collapse. And on this man watch, not only has it recovered, but it has broken all previous limits in terms of liquidity. And you got the nerve to feed this illusion with all this money you're making with your capitalistic orientation. And you know you love money. You know many of you worship mammon. You won't point the finger at this man who's been one of your biggest beneficiaries in history. Well, that's Wall Street. Well, what about Main Street? A few days later, this unemployment rate dipped to 5.8. Well, as many people not in the job market, everybody not feeling the recovery. Look, I've been on this planet 6 to 7 years, and most of the time, many African Americans never feel the recovery, never benefit from the economy. So what's new about that? But in the past, all you looked at was the unemployment numbers. When Obama was running the re-election in 2012, you said if he got it down to 7.0, he ought to be saved. Safe. Now down to 5.8, but his administration has been a disaster. Why, that's nothing but a tale of illusion perpetrated on the masses because of fear and confusion. Nothing but a tale of illusion perpetrated on the masses because of fear and confusion. When I say masses, I mean the masses of all religious, racial, ethnic, and gender-oriented stripes. Politics, basically, government is about gun and guns and butter. The butter represents the financial and economic state. And then the gun, you're in a state of war. Had a ill-conceived war in Iraq. Invading a country wrongfully. Misapplied strategic goals in Afghanistan. This leader said, I'm going to get our country out of Afghanistan and Iraq. He came in and achieved those goals. When the last Marine came out of Afghanistan, I had to look hard to find news commentary on that big event. Why? Because they were not looking for important news, especially if it made Obama look good. They were looking for news like a fake Ebola crisis, news like baby ISIS. Do you understand? Threatening the greatest military might in the history of humanity. Weaving these tales of illusion because the masses are caught up in fear and confusion. You want to know the real threat? That's not illusionary. The Chinese people, 1 billion strong, have produced a nuclear submarine in about national security and status as a great nation is threatened by some egotistical, barbaric maniacs. No more than 30,000 strong in the Middle East. What are we going to do as a nation if we ever have to face 1 billion Chinese with nuclear arms and submarines and all that might and all that power? Well, we may have a collective nervous breakdown before they even lift an airplane off the ground. Weaving these tales of illusions, playing on the fears of the masses in confusion. On that same day I was talking, I had a conversation with a Caucasian lady. She says, Salam, I don't want to make you mad, but I got to bring up the election. The election results didn't I'm a student of Imam Muhammad. The election results didn't make me angry. Many of the things that the Republicans support, Imam Muhammad support. Imam did not support blind governmental handouts and entitlements. Go study him. So you're not making me upset. I said, yeah, but did you know that most every president, two-term president, since Dwight David Eisenhower, in their second term, the last 2 years, has lost control of the Senate. She said, no, I didn't know that. Is that true, Salon? I said, you didn't get that off of all that sensationalism on Fox, did you? And I saw a confused look on her face, and she looked, and I told her, you know what's wrong? The people are confused. Now, aren't you confused? You thought that there was some great new thing where the Senate takes over in the last 2 years of a two-term president, the way Fox was programming you. You thought that was so unusual and so magnificent when it was a routine pattern of American political life. She didn't argue with me. She admitted that her and her husband were confused. I repeat, fear and confusion prevails in the empire of illusion. I take this from a book called The Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy, and the Triumph of the Spectacle. Why are we so fearful? Because we are operating in the dark as American people. We have been dumbed down. We're in the darkness, and we can't see. And when people can't see from the rational light of day, look what Obama had to say. I'm going to make my Ebola policy based upon the rational light of day, based upon science. But these shysters, Chris Christie and some of the rest, they wanted him to make the policy based upon fear and emotionalism. Who said the end of literacy, the coming of Jahlia, the coming of darkness to the American public, not examining matters in the light of reason, in the zenith of sunshine rationality. And then it goes on to say the triumph of the spectacle. Everything on the news is sensational. Gotta make a spectacle out of Ebola. Gotta make a spectacle out of Ferguson. Gotta make a spectacle out of ISIS. Gotta make a spectacle out of everything. And the biggest spectacle that they made is the illusion of a non-existent Barack Hussein Obama. The spectacle that they created around him does not exist anywhere. And some of us as African Americans are so caught up in the dark, so fearful, so victimized by an inferiority complex. We actually believe that those tales of illusion, that somehow Barack Hussein Obama has screwed up. And so not American voter punish the Democrats and kick them all out. We must be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We cannot allow these manipulators who are imps of the Shaitan himself maneuver us and manipulate us into abandoning reality. Because if we abandon reality, we abandon El Haq, the only reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot allow that. Now let me give you what I consider to be divinely inspired prescient statements about what was going to characterize the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama. And you will see that everything in these predictions given to us by men who had peculiar insight, one being a Caucasian journalistic scientists, and another one, of course, being the late Imam Rawat Udima. We're getting ready to close out now. Let me go to the first one. I've read this before, but in this day of the spectacle, if it's not a sensational thing, sometimes it has a problem sticking. I read it again. This is from a book called The Synchronistic Key, The Hidden Intelligence Guiding the Universe and You. Show us the straight way. Guide us to the straight way. This is our prayer. So we shouldn't be alienated when it comes to a statement like the hidden intelligence guiding the universe. We ask for guidance every time we make our path to have. So let's look at what this man said. I'm going to read him, and I'm going to read Imam Muhammad, because these statements were made before Barack Hussein Obama. These observations were made before Barack Hussein Obama ever hit a lick at American government. And everything in that statement came true. But we can't see the truth and veracity of that statement because we are, our perception has been clouded and obscured by the illusionary tales of the Shaitan and his imps, primarily in the news media. Let me read this very carefully. It looks like we may have 5 minutes left. And by the way, if you know of a political operative or political pundit or political player, invite them to come on the show next week and have a conversation with Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. And let's have a conversation when the sun is up high in the light of rational discourse. And let's see who will prevail that day. Getting ready to close out. Dearly beloved audience, we cannot take these matters lightly. Another interesting example from our recent history, this is the author David Wilcock, was that on Thursday, January 15th, which we know would have been the 80th birthday of our late leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was born January 15th, 2009, just 5 days before Barack Obama's inauguration, Captain Chelsea Sullenberger pulled off a successful water landing of this critically damaged passenger airliner in the Hudson River. Now, when you using a water metaphor, it's the ship of state. That's what they call government. I guess here dealing with an airplane, we would have to call it the airplane of state. This was symbolic opposite of the airline disaster of 9/11. As I wrote on my website, this appeared to be another manifestation, a worldwide lucid dream we're all experiencing, in which seemingly random world events in fact have symbolic meaning. So he's looking at this miraculous landing of the airplane estate on the waters of the Hudson River as a sign or an ayat. He said, lose a dream. That's what Yusuf, peace be upon him, did. He had lucid dreams, and Allah taught him how to interpret these lucid dreams and events. Allah told him to cat wheel. And we'll let this man go into events and piff or lip, cat wheel. And as Muslims who should have the lost property as believers of this wonderful size, we are paid to do it. Many people felt that something profoundly mystical was going on in the miracle on the Hudson. But they didn't really understand it. Among other things, I presented, this is the video proof, that the exact moment the survivors lined up on the wings in this iconic photograph was 3:33 p.m. This was only weeks after Obama's victory was announced in the election, once he garnered 333 electoral votes. Better, we could spend days just breaking that symbolism down. The 333 stayed on everyone's television screen during John McCain's anti-concession speech. I must admit, it was a great surprise to see 33 appear on a worldwide level in two different obvious ways over such a short period of time. Talking about those 33 folks on that airliner symbolizing the ship of state and a man coming in to rule over this damaged American ship of state that will receive 333 electoral votes. All this is a sign from God. I do not believe that either of these events were contrived or planned by anyone here on earth. Nor do I think that they make Obama a savior figure. Certainly not. The Quran is our savior. Muhammad is our example. Each of us must become the hero in this global story in our own way. The fact that Obama won two elections shows that the people voted for the message he gave them, whether he could live up to it in office or not. At the time of this writing, he has started his second term, and there is widespread discontent with the way things are going. Discontent that was being manufactured because by that time he had worked with others to savage the American ship of state. Unemployment, the war in Iraq was winding down. The stock market rejuvenated. These geosynchronicities, like the Vatican lightning strike, the miracle on the Hudson may be a result of direct spiritual intervention into our collective story. Allah intervened and raised up Barack Obama. But many of the ones who did not want to see a better America, they rebelled in an Iblisian fashion against this act of divine intervention. Within the frame of the story, events like this are foreshadowing or harbingers of hints that the hero will indeed be successful in his or her quest, regardless of how dark the road may seem at the time. Getting ready to get off. Now, Obama must be successful and will be successful. But even though he's known for these dark roads and hardship, many of us gave up. The miracle on the Hudson, the symbolism appeared to be telling us that under the violent imperialistic policies of Bush administration, the world was rapidly spiraling to a complex disaster, including the massive economic collapse of 2008. However, the public awakened enough to vote for the candidate who promised an end to fear. And they did. And Shaitan became upset because the American people did that. And he said, I'm going to plunge them deeper into fear, deeper into confusion. This stunning event subconsciously showed the world that there can be a happy ending. But the wicked ones don't want a happy ending with Ham, Barack Hussein Obama, within the most troubling and disturbing of global predicaments. Southern Baby's rescue was considered a miracle. What Barack Hussein Obama did and almost destroyed America was a political miracle, and the masses have been sucking in the perceiving that miracle as a massive disaster. Fear and confusion prevails, and so we caught up in an empire of illusion. Now let me close out with what the Imam wrote earlier than this author. This is from chapter 14, Random Conversation, The Spirit Never Dies. This is what the Imam said. The President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. Now, when the Imam passed, Barack Hussein Obama was not president. We are people that's being born on the continent of America, the United States. What these people are doing to discourage our image of Obama is to bring about a stillbirth of African American people. The bad ones, the wicked ones, they don't want us to complete our destiny. That's what the man said. We lost our life as a people, even if we became good Christians. We still lost our life as a people because our lifeline goes back to Africa. And slavery severed or cut off that line. Slavery on the plantations of the South in the United States, identifying and labeling us as not full human beings and treating us like that. Ham and Canaan have been cursed. Don't you know there are many who do not want to see that myth debunked? So if Obama is successful, then that debunks the myth. So at all costs, they must make you think in your inferiority complex itself that he's a failure. Look at the insight Allah gave the Imam. We were a people cut off and rejected. They didn't accept us in their social societies, and they didn't socialize in the presence of these United States. If they saw you doing that, they would want to hang around, hang you, and catch you by yourself. Yes, this is the reality. This is real history. Look how things have changed. Look how Allah has awarded us and given back our life and given us back respect in a society that labels us as not full humans. I don't know if some of you register the gravity of that, the importance of that. That's the number one thing that our enemies don't want, for us to get back our full life, including governmental life. So let's make this son of Ham, Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, look like a governmental failure to cast aspersions on all of them. If you did, you wouldn't be the same old Negro. This is any man in your kitchens or your bathrooms and out on the streets. You build new people. That's by Allah. Raise up Obama to show us how all of us can become new people, to rise above that Negro mindset, that slavery mindset. You look what he said. You're supposed to be like Obama. This is the man, Barack Obama. That's how you're supposed to be, the character, the dignified man that is in the human Obama. Barack Obama, didn't he get the right name? This is Imam Muhammad. All of us claim that we follow the leadership of Imam Muhammad, and we sit back and allow these people to unfairly demonize and stigmatize Barack Hussein Obama without raising a finger. You're nothing but a liar. You don't support Imam Muhammad. He said Barack means blessed. He is truly a blessed man. Now has he blessed the spirit of African Americans. That's why they're at it, because they don't want your spirit to be blessed. They want you to be downtrodden without hope. He said we'll never be the same again, and we won't. Because eventually the truth of what Obama did is going to come out. Those who are wasting their lives and being foolish in the streets have nothing to inspire them or get respect that will lift them up from indecent behavior and self-destruction. So the Imam is saying Allah is bringing Obama on the scene to give us respect so we'll change our bad behavior. Look what he said. Obama, one man, his acceptance by big people in these United States, big white people in these United States, is affecting the spirit of black America. Shaitan realized that, but he didn't want you to keep this good spirit. He wanted to destroy that good spirit, so he tried to assassinate politically Obama right before your eyes. Allah says your death and resurrection is the death of, and resurrection of one soul. All you need is one person with enough influence, and if they don't have direction in their life, they'll bring down the whole people. Just one image, one example to bring a whole people down. Allah says by the same logic, one standing up in the right character, having the right life, can lift the whole people. Shaitan understood this. So he said if we let Obama stand, then the masses of African American will stand. And we are not ready to allow that. Because if that happens, they're going to eventually find the man who exposed us, Imam Wazuddin Muhammad. One standing up in right character, having the right life, can lift the whole people. This is what the man said. That's what we have in Obama. That's what the man said. To me, he's more than a candidate for the president of these United States. You got caught up. I've been telling us all along that Obama's election was not about politics. It was designed to impact the internal state of the masses of African American people, to give us strength again, to give us hope again. And we let our blessing be tampered with without lifting a finger to protect it. So these are really new times, really new times. Brothers that's been around me will tell you that I've been with Obama before Obama was campaigning. A lot of Bessie Mams that see before Obama started campaigning that he was going to be president of the United States. Yes, I suspected that Barbara White was looking at him for future, and it worked. I've been with him a long time. Allah showed him this vision. And who wouldn't be with a decent man like that? And they have convinced you that Obama ain't about nothing. And the wisest leader we've ever had is bragging on him like this. Why have we lost our minds. I've been with him for a long time, and who wouldn't be with him except for people that are afraid to vote for him, man? See, the man was talking about fear. They think putting him in high office will get him killed. They really believe that they ain't going to let him get that high office, and they'll kill him. A lot of that, well, I don't want him to win because they're going to kill him. No, they never planned to kill him physically. They wanted to kill him as an example right before your eyes. And we so fearful and confused, we can't see this king. Getting ready to bring this to a close. But that office is too important, and freedom is too important for us to fear death and hold your support back from an African-American because we don't want to get him killed. No, Allah has power over life and death. Nobody can kill anybody unless the law permits it. So you're not supposed to hold back because of fear, because of being a scary Negro. That's why so many are having progress that we should. You don't believe that the white man would accept us if we progress. You believe he's going to block us. But they couldn't block Obama. Well, that's a trick that the devilish ones among them is working on us. And they still working a trick, making you think every day that Obama, who has performed a miracle governmentally in America, is a dismal failure. It's nothing but a devilish trick, a tale of illusion perpetrated because most of us are caught up in fear and confusion. Dearly beloved people, look at the inside of the man making these statements. Sometimes 3, 4, 5 years before Obama even announced to be president. And you think Allah gave him that insight to call that shot? He was in Chicago. He studied this man's character. He studied Jesse. He didn't say all this about Jesse. He studied Falcon. He didn't say all that about Falcon. So the man must have seen something that many of us didn't see. And if we follow this leadership, we should have fell in line like I do. And ever since I've been on this broadcast, I'm constantly defending what the man saw, the wonderful leader, Barack Hussein Obama. Now you're dealing with a student of the man. And these devils can't pull that trick knowledge here. Dearly beloved audience, we thank you for your attention. We hope and pray that you understand and that you truly understand what's happening in America. It's not about no politics or government. It's about trying to stop the plan of God to raise you to a new life, so that America can become that new Jerusalem on a shining hill. That's your job, that's your mission, to lead this democracy to that new level of development and evolution. But you can't do that, we can't do that, afraid and confused, devoid of guidance and insight. So we must turn to the life-giving message of the Lady Man Wahdudeen Muhammad. Dearly beloved people, we love you. We have the utmost concern. We did our best, and inshallah, there's understanding. We greet you with the wonderful greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. If you have any questions, I remain on the line for a few minutes, and I'll wait to a nod. If not, it's been wonderful. Been a good time today sharing this message to everybody in the audience. Again, as-salamu alaykum. Is anybody still in the studio? Anybody still in the studio? If not, dear beloved audience, as-salamu alaykum. can talk to these people tomorrow.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. I didn't get an opportunity to speak with you. I've just arrived in the studio. And I, those of you who are still listening, I got it. Give it here. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Wow, we got a lot of people here. Anybody like to ask questions or make comments, you can just press one on your phone. We have Brother George from out in Cali. We have a lot of people. So anybody like to raise questions or make comments for the next 15 minutes, I would be happy to answer your questions or to lead you in the discussion. Tomorrow we're going to have a program on Brother B.R. from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania will be on, and he's going to be discussing the American Halal Conference, an effort to make us, to help us to get into the business of halal. So I'm opening the line, Brother George, somebody from 717-870, the phone lines are open. Brother Imam Mubashir is here. We have two callers from Los Angeles, California. So if you'd like to make comments, let us know that you're still on the air. I didn't hear most of the show today, but if you'd like to make comments, please step forward and make your comments or press one on the phone, and you will be heard. There will be a hearing for you. I believe firmly that the only way we're going to develop this community is to listen to the loyal supporters of Imam Muhammad. I even welcome those who say they don't support Imam Muhammad. I'm ready to debate them. I'm ready to hold an open discussion. I don't operate like some of the other people I heard on there. They don't give people an opportunity to talk. They just basically talk, and they don't do any listening. So we're here to listen. We're here to talk with you. Sunday I have a very, very important topic. It's going to be on business. And we're going to talk about the reactions, of what happened to the elections, and what this really portends for the business life of our people, why our people must pursue happiness as the Constitution calls for, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if you'd like to join the conversation, I'm going to be on the line for another 5 minutes. If nobody calls in the next 2 or 3 minutes, I'm going to go off the air. But I will ask you to assist us by sending your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad. You can put on it, religion means a lie, because by the end of this year, God willing, we're going to have finished up the rest of our corporate work, and you will be able to get a receipt for any donations you receive. It would go towards a tax-exempt status. So anybody like to ask questions or make comments, please feel free. I'm going to ask Mr. Alfred Muhammad the second to come to the microphone and clear the lines in case people want to come. So anybody, again, like to make calls, please. Oh, okay. If not, peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We're going to end our show today. Thank you.